couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kaugh.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And once again, I'm here.
You're here. And yes, you're back because...
I'm back in Austin. I'm happy about it.
You were, like, infiltrating the Pentagon last week.
Yeah, you know, it's a little covert operation, I like to
or
call covert operation in our nation's capital. It was very fun.
That's a code name that, like, really throws everybody off the track, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it totally does. So, but no, I'm back and I'm ready for awesome this week.
Well, yeah, because we're doing a little bit of an early pre-record here because you're heading out to Comic-Con.
Yes, we're going to be throwing suitcases full of illegal things, items, not people, into our trunk.
Oh, yeah, because that would be wrong if it was people.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be as wrong. It's wrong either way. It doesn't work. It depends
on how big your trunk is. That's
well, we've got a pretty big trunk, but we'd like to put a lot of junk in that trunk. And we're going to be driving across the nation, the western part of the nation. I drove from D.C. to Austin. Now I'm going to drive from Austin to San Diego. So it's going to be like coast to coast with a pit stop at home. It's awesome.
Okay. Yes.
So that's going to be fun. Hopefully nothing weird happens.
Yeah. We'll keep our fingers crossed. So we'll find out. You can, of course, follow the Comic-Con coverage on filmschoolrejects.com.
Yeah, you could do shenanigans over there. And also on Twitter, which I'm going to mention Twitter here in a minute. So.
Well, yeah. Mention Twitter now.
No. I want to do where you can get a hold of the fat guys first.
Well, go ahead and do that.
Because that's important to me.
Go ahead and do that. This is the part.
You can get a hold of the Fat Guys of the Movies at www.fatguysofthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys of the Movies at the iTunes store, and we pop right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com.
Oh, we got an email this week.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay.
From somebody wanting us to raise awareness for HPV.
Oh, right.
I'm thinking when you hear about the Fat Guys of the Movies, that's
you instantly
the first
think
thing you think
HPV.
About.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You can also leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And you can also, I think this is important to start adding, that you can reach both Kevin and I on Twitter.
Yes.
My Twitter homepage is twitter.com/rejects.
And mine is twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Yours
I promise you,
unoriginal.
Sorry.
Yours is just your name.
I just set it up a while ago, and then you like sent out a response to everybody and had all your friends go after me and promised them that I'd be offensive, so I kind of have to keep that.
Right, yeah. You know, you definitely have to be offensive. It's required. Yes.
Well, and I am. So, yeah, don't go signing up if you're like wanting to hear my, you know, nice, sweet tweets about wonderful things. No, I'm obnoxious and mean.
Right. And I will, of course, tweeting as well.
Okay. Yes. We'll be tweeting.
I keep forgetting what I'm saying. What am I even saying here? I would like to tweet stuff about stuff. About movies and stuff.
Okay. You are so well spoken. Anyways,
that's where you
get
a hold of us.
We got to get to the reviews. We got to get to the reviews because we've got like four movies we're reviewing this week.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The first one's a preemptive suck, just to let everybody know. It's Orphan.
Oh, really? It's a preemptive suck?
Because it's a couple that just had a miscarriage and adopts the creepiest and evilest little 9-year-old girl you've ever seen.
This is an extraordinary little girl. She's very mature for her age. You seem to have made quite a connection.
Is this your house?
It's your home, too. You're just as much part of this family as Danny and Max.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Esther? What are you doing?
Something's happening to cause Esther to feel this way. I think there's something wrong with Esther.
They didn't show this to us. Preemptive suck.
I think they might have showed it here in Austin. I just don't...
Really?
...actively pursue seeing movies right now.
I heard rumors that this one wasn't shown for anybody. Although I think fake Rob Hunter...
Rob Hunter from Film School Rejects saw it. He's writing a review this week, so...
Yeah, he actually tweeted to me wondering what my response is, what my thoughts are going to be.
Are you going to go see it this weekend? Can people find your reviews at fatguysatthemovies.com?
Fatguysatthemovies.com and on Film School Rejects. I'm going to see that at a midnight screening.
Oh, you taking one for the team.
That's right. And because I got to talk about it on TV. I'm on TV now in Columbus, Ohio, so... Which you can see the videos on Film School Rejects and Fat Guys.
Right. You can,
I have
just to. In case listening to Kevin Carr and having to read his writing wasn't enough, now you can watch him.
Yes. And I was in costume last week, so but that gets a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to us. Let's move on to G-Force.
Okay, G-Force. Got it.
Secret Agent Guinea Pigs in 3D. What's not to love about that?
It's not easy to take over the world.
We need to find a way out of here.
Come on, come on. It's not working.
James Bond never had these problems.
I can put bows in her hair.
You try to put a bow on me, you're gonna lose a finger.
Oh, my stomach doesn't do well with action adventure.
Oh! Yuck, disgusting.
Roll down the window.
These things don't have windows, Hurley.
Lester, do something.
What do you suggest I do?
Poop in his hand. Poop in his hand.
Did you see this one?
No.
You didn't see anything.
Oh, I saw the last movie. We're talking about The Hurt Locker later. I saw that, right? I saw that South by Southwest.
It's South by. Anyways, I got to talk about the G-Force because this is the movie that I know a lot of critics have been dreading. They're like, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's going to be just like silly, cute stuff. Yeah, duh. It's about guinea pigs that are secret agents, and it's in 3D, and it's released by Disney. It's a kid's
right.
movie, for crying
out. Do they get in hamster balls and use hamster balls to like fight crime?
This is basically my description of G-Force. If you saw Bolt in 3D, that first 10 minutes of Bolt, that's the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. I gotcha. I mean, it's and what's great about it is it's produced, not directed by, but it's produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. Mm-hmm. And I know you're a huge Jerry Bruckheimer fan because he's in bed with Michael Bay.
He was.
Or he was, that's right. They had a little split, haven't they?
Well, they didn't really split, but I don't know.
Well, ironically now, since Bruckheimer's with Disney and DreamWorks is now going to be distributed by Disney, the next Transformers, which is Michael Bay, is probably going to be a Jerry Bruckheimer production too.
Oh, I see.
Anyways,
look at you putting things together. You must have been really good at Legos growing up.
I rocked the house on Legos. What's odd though is that little game at the Cracker Barrel that has the pegs in it. I can't do that at all. My wife,
I can't do everything at the Cracker Barrel either. Do you know that there are 450 Cracker Barrels in between Washington, D.C. and Austin?
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you stop at every one and get like a country fried steak?
No, but...
You're like a really fat guy at the movie.
It was tempting.
Anywho, about Jerry Bruckheimer and the guinea pigs, what's perfect about this movie is they take themselves totally seriously. Even though it's the silliest, stupidest movie in the world, they take it dead serious. And it's literally, if guinea pigs could be secret agents for real and Jerry Bruckheimer made a movie out of it, this is what it would be like. It's a seriously, I mean, it's goofy and silly, but they don't ham it up. They don't cheese it up. They like are serious guinea pigs, secret agents.
Serious guinea pig secret agents. Things I can't take seriously, you saying stuff like that.
It's awesome, though. And I took my kids, and they loved it. And it's in 3D, and the 3D is amazing.
Always with
the 3D is amazing. It is. Well, it's a kids' movie. I mean, sit there and be like, people
kids
are like,
love everything, though, Kevin.
No, they don't.
Do you not listen to your children when you ask them about movies? They love
Liam did
everything.
Not. Liam did not like Iron Man. So there
that's
because
he has the same taste as his father. It's genetic.
What I like
genetic
Iron
impairment.
Man.
Bad,
you're a genetic impairment.
Bad movie knowledge.
You're bad movie stuff. Knowledge.
Whatever.
Stuff.
Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Anyways, G-Force rocks. Take the kids. If you want to see, you know, highfalutin, you know, art house films or something, you know, with a highbrow, don't go see it. It's got a farting hamster in it. But
a farting hamster.
It's an awesome movie.
With that, I mean, I think we need to go to a break. And we're back on Fat Guys at the Movies, and now that we've got the farting hamsters movie out of the way.
I do stand corrected. The hamster actually doesn't fart. It's another guinea pig that farts. But farting hamster
it's a
just
farting guinea pig.
Sounds so much better.
Okay, fair enough. That would suck to be in the hamster ball with a hamster when he lays one down.
Yeah, well, it happens.
It's like the hamster version of the Dutch oven.
Well,
it's awful.
And you know what? It actually happens in the movie, and it's a cloud of like opaque gas.
You can't see farts, Kevin.
You can see this guy's.
You can see this guy's.
Movie
All right.
magic.
Moving on to things that you can also see.
Nice
The
segue.
Ugly Truth, in which Katherine Heigl plays an uptight news producer who is at odds with her new chauvinistic commentator.
I'm Mike Chadway, and we're back with The Ugly Truth. Now listen up, ladies. You
want a relationship, here's how you get one. It's called a Stairmaster. Get on it. No one falls in love with your personality at first sight.
Say hello to our new guest commentator, Mike Chadway.
Who's this delightful creature?
I'm your producer.
I like a woman on top.
Stick to the script.
There are many layers to a woman. Peel back these layers and figure out exactly what type you're dealing with.
That sounded almost enlightened.
Because once you do,
her lady garden awaits.
Now, I have to give a quick nod to your mom for this one. Because as we all know, she is a huge fan of Gerard Butler.
Oh, of course.
Is she still a huge fan of Gerard Butler?
She's still a huge fan of Gerard Butler.
She needs to go see this movie.
Her heart longs for Gerard Butler.
She needs to go see this movie.
That's what I'm being told.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm totally conflicted with this film. Because it's all a conundrum. Because Katherine Heigl, I mean, she looks good in it. She got her teeth fixed, actually, which makes it look good. And she's lost almost too much weight, actually. She looks almost... There's actually a scene in there where it looks like they digitally made her waist smaller. She looks so
interesting.
Oddly thin.
It's like Megan Fox in the pictures for Jonah Hex, where her waist looks like the size of my ankle.
Yeah. But you got a really fat ankle.
I do.
Are you talking about your fat ankle or your thin ankle? Because they're two different sizes.
When you drive across the country, apparently, in a U-Haul truck, your ankles swell up. Wow. I had cankles this week, Kevin Carr.
You are the cankled man at the movies.
So my cankle was probably wider than Katherine Heigl's waist.
Yeah, probably. But the thing is, she can do drama. I mean, I'll give her credit. I'm not a big fan of her on Grey's Anatomy, but she can do drama. The girl can't do comedy. I mean, she's more comfortable in the role than, like, Megan Fox is in anything. But Katherine Heigl, she can't do the comedy. It's really forced. There's a couple parts where she really nails it, but they're very few and far between. So she's not that good. Gerard Butler, on the other hand, absolutely freaking hysterical. The guy is hilarious in this movie. It's probably the funniest thing I've ever seen him do, even topping stuff like Rock and Rolla, which is him being goofy and crazy. And so, I mean, I wasn't too fond of her. I thought he was great. It's a romantic comedy, so it's kind of going for the date crowd, but it's R-rated. But it's not like a horror art. It's not like, you know, it's not like super bad or even Knocked Up. I mean, they're not showing lady parts in this movie. It's just they have a couple F-bombs thrown in there and some blue humor because he's a chauvinist.
Right.
You know, so I liked part of it, but I'm like, it was really right. I had a love-hate relationship. I was like, this is either sucks. No, this rocks. No, this sucks. You know, on that teetering.
I heard
right
it was kind of raunchy.
It's not that raunchy, really. I mean, it has some raunchy scenes in it. I mean, there are scenes that it's like, it's definitely earns its R rating, but it's not like Sex in the City. You don't see you don't see male junk. You don't see graphic nudity of any type. You know, I mean, so it's just a couple F-bombs and some sexual innuendo and blatant saying things and doing things.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. I mean, I really honestly think that I think it's going to do well simply because, or it's going to reach an audience because there's the romantic comedy crowd, but like all of Katherine Heigl's other movies, everybody else is better than her in it. You know, so, you know, I think...
Well, I mean, Seth Rogen was a lot better than her in Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and so was James Marsden in 27 Dresses.
She was just
kind of
good as like that straight character.
Yeah.
You know? She was the straight man, essentially. In the
yeah, when she tries to be funny in this movie, it's actually almost embarrassing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but Gerard Butler, he's going to be just as much of a draw for the ladies as she would be. You know, like you put Reese Witherspoon in a movie and there's a lot of women that'll be like, I'm going to go see Reese. But if you will watch, there's going to be women that are going to be stampeding to this movie just to see Gerard Butler. So.
Like my mom.
Like your mom. She'll love it.
Exactly. So what was the official grade on that?
I'm going to say kind of rocks, but like just barely. I mean, it's just like barely over the edge. It's like the movie Cellular with Chris Evans. It's just barely a recommend to go see. And it's just because if you want to take your girlfriend. But don't go on a first date because it'll be a last date movie.
Okay, another one of those. What was the one last week where it's like, don't go on a first date? Or like 2 weeks ago?
The Proposal?
Oh, no, Bruno.
Bruno? Yeah, okay.
This is similar to Bruno.
It's exactly like Bruno. You see a lot more of Sacha Baron Cohen in Bruno than you see of anybody in The Ugly Truth.
Nice. Yes. All right, cool. Well, let's move on to the next movie, which I actually have seen.
Yes.
Really excited about that. Yes. It's called The Hurt Locker, and it's about a bomb disposal unit in Iraq who fight to stay alive through the end of their year-long tour.
How many bombs have you disarmed?
873.
873? You're a wild man, you know that?
Not so bad. Our first time working together. What do you think?
I think us working together means I talk to you and you talk to me.
You going on a date, Sanborn?
A team leader is inspiring. Wow. He's gonna get me killed.
What's the best way to go about disarming one of these things?
The way you and Dicer.
You can have first crack at this one since you actually saw it.
Well, I saw it back in I don't know, whatever month South by Southwest was. And
how drunk
to this
are
day,
you right now is what I wanted.
I'm not drunk. To this day, I might be a little drunk. to this day, this is still my favorite film of the year, the best film in my mind.
Really?
Of the year.
That's a
because it is the most one of the most intense cinematic experiences I've had in a long time, because it's a movie that kind of grabs you very quickly and shows you the danger that these guys are in the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire movie, it is this chess game of whether or not these guys are going to get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this constant sense of tension. And I thought the characters are extremely well fleshed out.
Yeah.
The performance from Jeremy Renner is amazing. Anthony Mackie is also very solid in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, and it's this apolitical look at the danger of being in the middle of a war zone. Of course, it's amplified by the fact that they are a bomb disposal unit and that they're working in the most tense situations possible, you know, literally standing there on top of things that will explode and kill them. And, you know, I think it was incredibly well shot. I mean, anybody who wants to see what movie explosions should look like.
Michael Bay.
Should definitely see the work that Kathryn Bigelow has done here. And I think it's really great to just see a very just balls-to-the-wall action movie that is not this big, glossy Hollywood, you know, like money fest. It doesn't look like money was thrown at this movie. It just is this intense action movie.
I wouldn't say it's an action movie. It's more it's war, but the action, it's not traditional action. It's all suspense, really, is what it is. I mean, it has some
right.
A couple moments, but it's not like I wouldn't declare it an action movie. But I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said. What I liked mm-hmm. about it was the fact.
Of course you do, because I'm right.
Whatever. you are right about the fact it's apolitical, which. Mm-hmm. We have had so many movies about the Iraq War. Oh, so many movies. It's like we're in the 80s, you know, when they were making all the Vietnam movies. This,
right.
You know, we've been seeing so many of these movies lately, and all of them seem to be about soldiers that are total head cases. They can't deal with life, and then they're trying to make statements, but they're trying to be good to the military, but, you know, complaining about policy, and they really don't know what the heck they're doing. This one, what I respected about it was it goes out there and it's just like, this is their job and this is what they do, and mm-hmm. it's an ugly, dangerous thing that they do, but mm-hmm. they don't put any political context. That's just their job. And they're not saying, oh, isn't it terrible?
Right.
These people are blowing us up because of this or whatever. No, they just have them. These people are here, and that's what they're doing. It's like watching a cop drama without them complaining about why trying to solve the crime problem. It's just they're dealing
right.
with
it feels like it's one of the first, to me at least, it feels like it's one of the first Iraq war movies that's actually about what's happening in the war, like what's happening on the ground in the war. Yeah.
Well, and it also...
Not this political look at, you know, whether or not we should be there, blah, blah, blah. It's just, this is what the soldiers go through.
Well, and I think it has respect for the soldiers in the sense that they're having their issues and dealing with stuff, but they're not all head cases and psych wards and, you know, choking out their girlfriend when they wake up in the middle of the night on leave kind of thing.
Right.
It's you
which
know,
is
you,
good because one of their wives is played by Evangeline Lilly.
Yes.
No one wants to see Evangeline Lilly get choked out. She's totally hot.
She is totally hot. But no, it's they're not. They have a guy who's complaining about he's scared to death that he's going to get killed. And so he's complaining about the situation, but he's not trying to make a political statement out of it. And there's
right.
a guy
he's just worried about getting killed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I think was actually really kind of cool about it, is that it had a respect for the American soldier.
Yeah.
So, and
I'm going totally rocks, Kevin. Officially,
I'll say it rocks. I don't. What is this totally rocks thing?
It's what I say.
Whatever.
Anyways,
you totally
moving
rocks.
On. When we come back, we're going to talk about box office, and we're also going to talk a little bit about Comic-Con.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Tony G.
42 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And here we are back at Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've blown through 4 movie reviews, which is awesome, since last week we only had 1.
Yeah, that's right.
So, did you see Harry Potter yet?
No, I was going to go see it this week, but I'm going to be traveling, so.
Yeah, they didn't have it on the U-Haul.
No, sadly,
like,
no.
Like the plane. Am I keeping you awake or something?
I'm not really a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah,
so
I remember that.
I wasn't really,
one.
Rushing out to see it.
Okay.
So
it's good, though. It is good.
Yeah, no, I totally, I'm down with it being good. Like, I don't have any hate for the Harry Potter thing.
You're like, it's okay that it's good in my little world.
But, like, yeah, no, I'm in charge here, obviously.
Whatever.
But it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Kevin.
What are you saying, even?
Not even sure. I just, you know, I'm not going to go see Harry Potter. So there.
Okay. Just not at all.
Just deal with it if you have to.
Maybe you could catch it on your way to Comic-Con. Stop.
Maybe.
It's playing everywhere. It's playing nationwide.
That's true. Maybe. I bet you I could get Cole Obias to go see it again with me.
Okay.
So, anyways, speaking of Harry Potter.
How'd it do?
Yeah, how'd it do? Tell us all about it.
It did very well. $158 million over the 5 day, which is kind of sad. I would have liked to have seen it beat Transformers simply because, I mean, Transformers was fun, but I just don't think it was worth the $200 million weekend.
Right.
You know,
it did $158 million.
Yeah, which is awesome. And that beats The Order of the Phoenix, which was its previous Harry Potter film.
Mm-hmm.
And did $77 million, which oddly enough didn't even beat Wolverine's gross over the 3 day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But like Wolverine, here's the thing, the two sort of like box office money.
Mm-hmm.
Opening weekends were Wolverine and Transformers. Those are the really, really big ones this summer. Everything else has been kind of struggling to meet those.
Right.
And I think that those did it simply because there was sort of like a vacuum before them.
Right.
There was, you know, every year the first film of the summer does really, 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 really well no matter what it is. And Transformers had a couple weeks leading up to it that really nothing big came out. And the thing is, I know you love Transformers, you love Michael Bay, and you'd like to lick the sweat off of his body and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know if that's completely true, but it's close.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the pictures you've sent him. Anyways, it came so close to beating The Dark Knight. If you look at like The Dark Knight, and you're like, wow, that 5 day was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And The Dark Knight top down, awesome movie. I mean,
yeah.
There's very little you can point to about The Dark Knight and say, yeah, that really shouldn't have happened.
Right.
Transformers was no Dark Knight. And and that's my big thing. It's not going to beat it domestically. I mean, Transformers isn't going to make $500 million.
Right.
But it's still going to probably have a really good shot of breaking $400 million.
Right.
So, what I thought about Dead Man's Chest, Pirates of the Caribbean 2. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't worth the money it made.
Right. Harry Potter, though, from what I hear, at least when I listened to the show last week with you and Cole Obias, is totally worth the money.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
It's a great Harry Potter movie.
So there you go.
So it won. And it trounced everything else. 500 Days of Summer opened limited release, but it not by much. 500 Days of Summer, I think, is expanding this week pretty
much. Yeah, it's one of those classic Fox Searchlight platform releases where it's going to release a little bit and then release more and more and more.
Did you see that at like Sundance or South By or something like that?
500 Days of Summer. I saw it at Sundance. Yeah, it was really really good. Really,
I liked it. It was okay.
It's smart, you know.
Yeah, another online journalist basically said to me that he likes everything that's he basically made a love adoration statement to Fox Searchlight. Basically, anything that they've done, you know, Juno, Slumdog. Mm-hmm. This and they mentioned Waitress and what's funny is half the movies I really liked, like Juno,
right,
and the other half I didn't like. I wasn't a big fan of Waitress, but
yeah,
you were.
Mm-hmm.
You were a huge fan of Waitress. Yeah. Anywho, what do you think's going to win this weekend?
Probably Harry Potter.
Really? You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say G-Force, and this is why.
You and your kids' movies.
It's a kids movie, and it's in 3D, which is a premium mm-hmm. which is a premium ticket price. So that tends to give it an edge. And that's actually part of the reason why Harry Potter had lower numbers, not just because the kids' tickets are less, but it was only in like literally like three or four IMAX theaters mm-hmm. because Transformers had has a month exclusive in IMAX.
Right.
And well, Harry Potter...
I feel like Harry Potter, it's still the widest release, and it's still got a lot of momentum. Mm-hmm. I think G-Force is a good second, number two movie, you know? I still think it's going to take down the Potter, man.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just right now because the last big kids movie was Ice Age, which was only a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I think it's still, this is like, we're fully into summer. I just have this feeling after seeing it and seeing how many people were at the screening and how many people got turned away from the screening and how many people wanted to see it mm-hmm. and the reaction of the kids, it's like an hour and a half long. They can pack tons of screenings of this. You got the 3D screens mm-hmm. and it's literally something you can literally drop little kids off to and go shopping and right. come back and the kids will be in the theater. I'm not saying like do it with a 2-year-old.
That's...
That might be illegal, actually.
It's probably illegal, yes.
But I think you can, like, if you have,
so
like,
so, Kevin, you should probably stop that practice.
I don't put my 2-year-old in there. I don't have a 2-year-old. I have a 1-year-old. I just get random 2-year-olds, pick them up at the, usually at malls. They're good. You can get them there. And then I put them in the movie theater.
I'm just going to let you go and dig your own hole on this one. There's really nothing to say. I mean, it's not even worth it this time.
Okay, fine.
So there you go.
There.
All right, so what did we come to a conclusion here? Is G-Force not going to win, or is it going to win?
I think G-Force is going to win the box office. It'll be a horse race between G-Force and Harry Potter.
I think it's going to be Harry Potter.
Is it going to be Harry Potter?
Wow. Really? Wow. Anyways, moving on. Time to talk about...
Fat Guy 5.
The Fat Guy 5, which is about Comic-Con this week, since we're going to be at Comic-Con later this week. I will be, anyways. And the 5 coolest things to see at Comic-Con this year. And this is kind of an easy one because there's lots of cool stuff. I've been looking...
Well, this was a very easy one because I just copied it off of the Film School Rejects.
Yeah, I've been looking, planning, doing all that, all those shenanigans.
I just stole your... This is all your list. I don't really have a lot to say about this.
I know. So here's what we got. We've got Focus Features presents 9.
Looks awesome.
Which looks fantastic. Directed by Shane Acker, based on a short film that he did. Probably cool. It's the rumor is they're going to screen it, but I don't think that's going to happen, personally.
Okay.
Then you've also got... Number 4 is the Disney 3D panel, which is going to...
So you got it. Number 4 is Disney 3D for Tron 2.
And Tron 2. Yes. It's also going to have...
How I did that? I counted down 4, 3, 2?
Right. Awesome. It's also going to have first looks at Alice in Wonderland. Tim Burton's going to be there. And A Christmas Carol. But I feel like Tron is going to kind of be the linchpin of this entire panel, where director Joseph Kaczynski, who was there for surprise trailer debut last year, or they just randomly played the trailer last year. That was...
It was just
awesome.
The title treatment last year, wasn't it?
No, it was they played his spec trailer, like the trailer that he made to sell it to Disney.
Oh, okay.
And so this year, hopefully some actual footage. But cool. We'll see.
And then... Am I keeping you awake?
Yeah. Then number 3 is District 9.
That looks awesome.
Which, I agree, looks awesome, awesome, awesome. And you've got Peter Jackson's going to be there. So...
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
People
and he's
ask
lost
him,
weight. He's like Katherine Heigl. He's thin now. Right?
He is. His waist is very similar to the size of Mike Kinkle's.
Ooh. I just threw up in my mouth. Just a little bit.
I also just threw up in my mouth. But he'll be there with director Neil Blomkamp, and they're going to be showing off some new footage from that movie. If you haven't seen that trailer, I mean, I don't know. You've seen the trailer, right, Kevin?
Well, I've seen both of them. There's one. There's the original teaser, and then I saw the one that's on Film School Reject site. That comes from IGN or something like that.
Probably one of the coolest movies for the rest of the year. Like, just
I can't wait to see it.
Awesome. Aliens in robotic suits and civil rights and more aliens and stuff. So
what's really funny is there's a part in The Ugly Truth where there's this part of the ending. I'm not going to tell you what is happening at the ending, but they shoot the whole thing against a green screen, and because they need to have the control of the environment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a distractingly bad green screen. And mm-hmm. a bunch of us critics were talking about it after seeing the screening, and David Metzger from Bullseye.com, who's been on the show before, I was complaining about it. He goes, "Well, yeah, all blue screens look bad. It's like watching a scene in the car. You just get used mm-hmm. to it." I'm like, "Well, but have you seen the trailer for District 9? That's all computer generated and looks fantastic. I mean, the spaceship, I've seen it projected. I've seen it on the web. It looks fantastic no matter how you look at it. I don't know how they did that, yet, you know, Katherine Heigl and Gerard Butler, they don't look as real as aliens."
Yeah. That happens. So there. Speaking of things that are computer generated, number two on our list.
Yes.
Is James Cameron's Avatar, which...
James Cameron is computer generated.
Is almost all computer generated, including the director.
Not to be confused with Avatar the Last Airbender.
Right, this is just Avatar.
With all the white people in it.
Right.
Are there any white people in James Cameron's Avatar?
Yes, Sam Worthington is in it. Oh. He's the guy from Terminator. He played...
Oh, okay.
Marcus, right? In Terminator.
He played the really bad acting Terminator. Although, wait, no, it's a James Cameron movie, so there'll be a black guy in it, but he's going to be like the crazy cook sidekick. Which is like always in every James Cameron movie. He's like either the sergeant or whatever. He's always the guy who gets killed.
Yeah. Anyway. So this one, I mean, people are expecting this to kind of be an evolution, the next evolution of 3D and stuff like that. James Cameron, he's put a lot of years into this. He's been planning this movie since pre-Titanic days.
I think he was planning this movie since 1972.
He might have been, since 1941, actually.
No, and, I think he was planning it since the Civil War.
So this is easily, I mean, this is kind of the main event of Comic-Con, it seems. It's on mm-hmm. Thursday, of course. Lead with the best, I guess, is Comic-Con. And, okay. I mean, it could very well be awesome. It could also suck. Who knows? But
and James Cameron may know.
James Cameron probably knows at this point. And number one on our list is Iron Man 2. If we remember back to 2007, you were there in 2007.
Yes, I was.
The talk of the town was Iron Man.
Yeah. And it was Iron Man 2007, Watchmen in 2008.
Yep.
And Avatar this year.
And we're talking about, I mean, it started the buzz that propelled Iron Man to make $318 million at the box office. And I think you've got the same kind of potential with Iron Man 2. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to have Scarlett Johansson in leather.
Yeah.
And
there's way more actresses after her turn in the Spirit. I just can't take her seriously ever again.
Fair enough. But one thing you can take seriously, Iron Man 2 is probably going to blow the roof off of Comic-Con. Personal opinion.
Literally. Jon Favreau is going to be like, "Oh, bloom," and he's going to blow up the convention center.
Exactly. It's going to be awesome. Right. Anyways, on that note, time for a break.
Beep.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We've come down the long path all the way to the final segment.
Was that an impression of something?
It started off as me and kind of devolved into Bill Cosby. Almost.
No.
Almost.
That's nowhere near Bill Cosby.
Said you gotta better eat your pudding. And I didn't.
Pudding pups. No, that
eat
was,
your pudding.
That was about Anyways. As much Bill Cosby. That had about as much Bill Cosby in it as Gilbert Gottfried does.
Fair enough. Anywho, it's time to do, as we always do, the world-famous DVD Roundup. And we'll start with me this week again, because I said so.
That's right, Roundup from the ground up.
And we're going to start with Watchmen, the director's cut of Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Probably an easy pick this week. One of those kinds of movies that everyone's going to want to go see.
Or watch, you know, again.
Everyone's going to want to go by.
As like 25 extra bring into their minutes. Home. 25 extra minutes.
25 extra minutes. Plenty of behind-the-scenes special features for any Watchmen fan. I believe it's a must-have. For anyone who's out there who loves movies and the craft of filmmaking.
Except Rob
Coraline, Hunt. Especially on Blu-ray, is a must-have.
Yeah. What's cool about the Blu-ray is, like so many releases, which they seem to be doing this a lot for kids releases, or pseudo-kids mm-hmm. releases, they package it with the DVD. So if you're going to get like a Blu-ray player for Christmas, go ahead mm-hmm. and get this now because you can still watch it on DVD. It's just not in is the regular DVD in 3D or just the Blu-ray?
Just the Blu-ray, I believe.
Yeah. Comes with four 3D glasses.
Yeah. So there's that. Also,
wow. Wake up, what? Man.
Also, Pushing Daisies season 2 mm-hmm. on Blu-ray is, I just love Pushing Daisies. It's such a sweet show.
It's a short season because they canceled. It's like only 16 episodes, but still worth checking out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
My turn?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right, I'm going to say, I'm going to lead off with Stargate, Children of the Gods. If you're a Stargate fan, if you're a fan of the old SG-1 series, this is the two mm-hmm. episode, the two-part mini, well, not mini series, but the two-part movie that sort of serves as the pilot for the TV show. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they sort of do a George Lucas thing to it where they go back and they re-edit, they take out some corny lines and they add music on there that wasn't, because mm-hmm. when they originally made the pilot, it was just the music from the movie, the original movie Stargate. So it doesn't quite mm-hmm. fit. So they had Jerry Goldsmith's score on there and they enhanced the special effects. It's actually really good. And it's really mm-hmm. just for the fans out there, but there's enough Stargate fans out there. There's
a lot of Stargate fans out there, man. Yeah. Stargate's popular.
That's what I'm going to miss at
People
Comic-Con
love
this
the
year.
Gate.
Stargate usually has a really good presence at Comic-Con, and I'm going to miss that. But there's also Prison Break, The Final Break, which is the mm-hmm. sort of like the TV movie that fills in some holes from the fourth season of Prison Break. Pretty decent. Mm-hmm. It's just the movie. There's no special features except for some deleted scenes. But it's worth checking out if you're a Prison Break fan. Also, 300, The Complete Experience, which is mm-hmm. on Blu-ray. It's 300, Zack Snyder, who did Watchmen, and has like a booklet with it and like 2 hours of new special features, and it's on Blu-ray. So mm-hmm. if you really, really want to get your loincloth a sweaty guy's fix like you do, Neil, you can go check this out.
Gotcha.
That's what I have to say.
Okay. What else? That's it?
That's it. Those are my big picks for this week.
All right. What's the stinker this week?
John and Kate plus 8 season whatever. Because they broke up, dude. Who's going to watch this now? I mean,
wondering this the other day. Yeah, I was standing in line at the grocery store. And I was looking through all the magazines, and I saw this story on Us Weekly or whatever stupid magazine it was on about John.
I love how you like the blow John guy like, oh, and his new wife. This idiot magazine that only idiots read that I was reading.
And but it's like I look at this and I'm like, John and Kate plus 8.
Yeah.
Who the heck ever watched this show in the first place,
dude? It was huge.
It was huge.
It was huge.
Huge, Kevin Carr.
It was the biggest. Well, I mean, it's the biggest on TLC, but it was a big deal. And I mean,
Trading Spaces.
Well, actually, it was. It was that popular among the TLC crowd.
I just don't.
Well, that's because you're like run a website and you're like in your 20s, and I mean, this was like the housewife and mother-in-law crowd. They mm-hmm. loved it.
I just don't get it. I don't feel like it's... I mean, it's not Dancing with the Stars, obviously.
It's not made for you, man.
It's not The Bachelorette.
Well, it is The Bachelorette, pretty much.
All right, fine. Maybe it is The Bachelorette. But...
No, it was you.
I don't know.
It was a big, 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 hairy deal. Yeah, and it made a lot of news when they broke up, because they're both idiots. So, there you mm-hmm. go. Anywho.
Gotcha.
That's what I have to say. Take that, John and Kate.
I really don't. I don't know.
Take that, your stupid, bald husband and your... dorky Flock of Seagulls haircut lady. That's what I have to say.
Okay, fair enough. So. Moving on, time for a review wrap up. Kevin saw The Ugly Truth and said,
"Barely, barely, barely kind of rocks, only if you want to go out on a date."
And then you also saw G-Force.
Totally rocks.
And neither one of us saw Orphan.
Preemptive suck.
And we both saw The Hurt Locker. I said The Hurt Locker totally rocks.
And I said rocks. I'll give it a
totally.
Rocks.
Next week.
I didn't say totally.
I said totally.
You said totally. I didn't say totally.
Whatever.
You tacked a totally on my rocks, man.
Next week, we've got Aliens in the Attic. Ooh. We're also running away from the Collector, and we will be hopefully laughing at the funny people from Judd Apatow. In the meantime, here's how you can get a hold of us. FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, FatGuysAtFilmSchoolRejects.com. And you can now get us on Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects. And you can get Kevin at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Yes.
And with that, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say to you, Kevin Carr.
You can get me on Facebook at facebook.com/fatguysinthemovies.
You don't really want to get at Kevin and Carr on Facebook, do you?
You do.
No. I don't think you do. No one wants that much Kevin Carr in their life.
Yeah, they do.
We'll be right back.
4 seconds of whoop, whoop, whoop.